All right, welcome back to our study of godly wisdom through James. We're in lesson five now. We've had several weeks worth of intro material in our last lesson. We finally got into the text a little bit, and now we're trying to get further on. I'll say that it might take a little while, just because we're trying to go a little bit deeper throughout the text, and so it may feel like we're inching our way further along. But there is, as I've said before, that James is packed full of so many good things, and each verse really does have a lot to it, and it is worthy to talk about, and I think that we can learn a lot from it. But to review a little bit, one of the first things we had talked about in our last lesson was in verse 1, how James refers to himself as a bondservant of God and of Jesus Christ. You know, what was significant about that word that we talked about? Well, it was the fact that it's voluntary. That word doulos can either mean, you know, depending on the context, it can mean a slave, kind of what we would think of as a slave, or it can also mean a voluntary slave. And that's exactly what the word is here. But James has placed himself in that position, right? Nobody forced him into that. God didn't force him into that position. He is chosen to serve God and chosen to serve his brother, Jesus Christ. And he sees himself, he doesn't call himself a brother, he calls himself a servant, and which is very commendable of James. And we talked about how, you know, it ought to be the same for us. By what Christ has done for us, that ought to compel us to want to enter into service for Him voluntarily. Nobody should have to force us into a life of service for Jesus. It's voluntary when you understand exactly what He has done for you. But we also looked at other writers in the New Testament that saw themselves the same way. There was a whole list that we had given. We won't go through those again, but basically, you know, Paul did, Peter did, Jude did, James does. Numerous times throughout the New Testament, even at the very beginning of these letters, that's exactly how they reference themselves, as bondservants. It's almost like they wanted, you know, their readers to know, hey, I'm a servant. I'm just a servant. Anyway, but then we talked about verses 2 and 3 and how we can consider it all joy, because we know that going through trials is going to produce in us and endurance or steadfastness that will enable us to be stronger. But the thing of it is we have to lead our minds to that point, right? I think it was that word hygiomai. It means to lead. It means to bring. We've got to bring our minds to that point. Being joyous in trials is not a natural response. But we've got to train our minds because of what we know that it will produce later. Which is another word that we had talked about, the word knowing or know. You remember there are two words in the original language for the word for knowledge. It is the Greek words oida, which is factual knowledge, and then gnosko, which is more of an experiential type of knowledge. The word that's used here is the gnosko word for knowledge. So it's meaning that, you know, through your actual experiences and trials, you know that those can and will produce an endurance in you. It helps us to be stronger the next time trials come around, but then it also allows us to help others in their trials, because, hey, guess what? I've been through this before. Now, that can get a little technical, because, you know, you don't want to just walk up to someone and say, well, I know how you're feeling. No, you don't. We don't know how other people are feeling. Situations are different. Not every situation is the same, but, you know, sometimes there you may be able to offer some bit of help because of what you've gone through. But anyway, we didn't quite get to verse 4, and that's where we had left off. So that's where we'll pick up in verse 4. And James says, "And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." There's some more key words in this verse that I want to try to point out. I'll try to point those out as we go. But you have the word endurance, you have the word perfect, and the word complete. Again, ESV translations may be a little bit different. But endurance helps us to become perfect. Perfect in Scripture, unless referring to Jesus' sinless life or God Himself, most of the time does not mean without flaw, but rather it means complete. It means mature, especially with how James will use this word. But it's reaching a designed end. There is a designed end. There is an end result that is supposed to happen when you go through trials. And what's supposed to happen is that we're supposed to get to that point. But to get there, what do we have to go through? We've got to go through trials. To get to that end result, you have to go through the trial. You know, too many people, I think, sometimes give up right in the middle of the trial. They may almost be, you know, at the end of it. But sometimes it gets so overwhelming and they're just, they crumble and they break and they say, I'm done with this. I'm not doing it anymore. And, you know, they maybe go off and do something else. But, you know, if we did not have trials and tribulations, then we wouldn't grow and we wouldn't be working our way to this perfect result in this completeness that God wants us to reach. Now, we can't get stronger if our faith is never tested. Our trust and reliance upon God cannot grow deeper if we're not put in situations that test our faith in Him. Right? And if we never push past the trial, then we will never grow in our faith and in our walk. Again, that's hard to do sometimes. And that takes a bit of spiritual maturity, like I've said before, but we've got to get, you know, we've got to understand that trials in life are not inherently bad. They can be good for us if we view them in the right way. And there's a desired outcome that we're supposed to get through those. Right? And it's to make us stronger. We can't get stronger if our faith is never tested. Our reliance upon God cannot grow deeper if we're not put in situations that test our faith. But to reach that designed end and that true endurance, our faith has to be tested in a variety of ways in order to be complete, mature in our faith, and whole. Okay? Now, real quick, I want to tell you what James is not saying. James is not saying that God constantly sends these trials our way. Nothing in Scripture says that God purposefully sends us trials to test us. Now, what He does do is that He may allow those trials to happen, like He did with His servant Job, but He never deliberately sends something on purpose to test us. So James isn't talking about these things as something that God does to us on purpose. Listen, things have been set in motion, and life just happens sometimes. Trials happen to everyone, and they can happen unexpectedly. We know that, right? But God doesn't cause someone to break their leg because He's trying to teach them a lesson. We don't serve a God like that. God is not like that. But when those unexpected things happen, we're going to go through a lot of different things, maybe emotionally and spiritually, but we've got to recognize that, okay, this is a trial. I need to hold on to my faith and trust in God to help see me through this trial. We have to view it in the right way. We've got to see it with what? We've got to see it with godly wisdom, heavenly eyes. See past what's immediately happening and try to put our minds to what's actually going on. This is a trial. All right? This can be good for me, though it is going to be hard. All right? But through it all, we do the best we can to see the spiritual side of it and not just the physical side. Because what happens is when a person begins to focus more on the physical, well, that's when they run the risk of losing their faith and losing their trust in God. When they're too focused on the physical trial and not the spiritualness around the trial. At the end of verse 4, he says, lacking in nothing. This really is the idea that we're not going to fall short in our walk with God so long as we let those trials mold us and form us to that desired end, that perfect result. And lacking in nothing is really the ideal situation, all right? This is what we are trying to get to. Our steadfastness, this endurance, needs to reach a completeness in that we won't be lacking in anything spiritually. Again, that's what's ideal. But the fact is that we do lack in certain areas, don't we? But, you know, there's all kinds of areas that we may lack in. But lacking in nothing is really what we're trying to get to, okay? If you look at Scripture as a whole, I mean, Scripture gives you the ideal. But the reality of our actual lives is most of the time not fully in conformity with Scripture, right? Here's the ideal standard. Now you need to work in your life to bring yourself to this standard, right? It's a constant, you know, revolving. It's a constant repenting and all this stuff, trying to change your life and fit your life to the standard. And that becomes very difficult sometimes, but it's a constant work. It's a constant battle that we have to fight. Now, sometimes what James does is that he will mention a particular phrase in one verse, and then he comes back around to it a verse or two later to elaborate on what he was talking about. And that's what he does here. He mentions in verse 4, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And then in verse 5, he says, but if any of you, what, lacks wisdom. All right, and now he's going to elaborate on that a little bit. But before we hit verse 5, I want us to look at verse 12 for a moment. Sometimes when you're studying the Bible, here's just a quick side note. When we're studying the Bible, you know, when we talk about context, okay? Context does not always, it's not always about what comes before the verse or passage that you're looking at, okay? A lot of times we're like, well, what's it say up in the context? Meaning, you know, what is it that comes before the context? Well, sometimes, and, you know, we have the benefit of all of Scripture laid out in front of us. Sometimes context can actually go forward. It's not just backwards sometimes. And this is an instance where we can do that, and we can consider, even before really diving into it, we can consider what the verses say ahead of where we are to kind of understand the context better. Maybe it's cheating, you know, whatever, but we're, if you want to look at it that way, but we can look ahead a little bit sometimes to really gather more of what the context is with what I'm immediately reading. Anyway, but verse 12 says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, we're not going to dive into all of that verse. We'll get there later, but he says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. So he started talking about this whole thing with trials back in verse 2. And look what he's doing here in verse 12. He's still talking about trials in verse 12. So even though we're 10 verses down, well, the entire context in verses 2 through 12 is talking about the need for wisdom in trials. He hasn't left that thought. All right, so if you're marking up in your text, what you can do is you can connect some words, all right? And I would say, you know, that's a good way to mark up your Bible. You need to find some prevalent words. You need to find some recurring words, circle those, draw a line to them, figure out what the context is that you're reading. All right, so you can connect the word trials in verse 2 with the word trial in verse 12. So what I would do is I would, you know, draw a box around that word up in verse 2, and I would try to draw me a straight line right down to the next verse, or right down to verse 12, and I would draw a box around that one, and I would connect these. All right, so you can also, in verse 3, connect the word testing to the word approved in verse 12, or that might read, stood the test in the ESV. And you can connect the word endurance or steadfastness from verse 3 down to the word perseveres, or the phrase remain steadfast in verse 12. Because what he's doing is he's connecting those thoughts. All of what he's talking about in this short passage, 2 through 12, is the need for wisdom in trials. All right? And so he's going to illustrate that even more here in a little bit. Back up to verse 5 now. It says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. All right, so when he says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, he's not meaning just wisdom in general, but wisdom about the trials. You know, sometimes we lack wisdom in our trials, and we don't see it the way that God sees it. So what's the point? Well, when that happens, and we either can't see or we're not seeing fully what's going on within the trial that we're in, well, according to verse 5, what is it that we're supposed to do? We've got to ask God for wisdom. And how is it that we ask God for wisdom? Well, it's prayer. Prayer is how we approach God and request things that we need, and in this case, it would be wisdom. Now, don't you think that's something to pray about? Isn't that something that God would love for us to pray about? If you don't have the wisdom that you need, you need to pray to the one who does have that wisdom and ask for it. Make that request at the very source of wisdom, not just any source, but the source. God is the source for wisdom. Now that leads into a thought and could lead into a conversation about who you're going to for wisdom, right? You know, who do you normally go to for help? When you think about it, and if you're really honest with yourself, what's your first reaction on where to go? You know, what or who is your source for wisdom when you're going through hard times? Do you turn to articles on the internet and what other people are saying, or you know, are you turning to the world to try and grab on to some kind of wisdom to help you, or are you turning to God? Are you reaching out and asking God for wisdom? That's certainly something for us to think about.